in 1 Peter chapter 5. We preached on this on Wednesday night, and we preached about grace, and want to once again bring that to our attention. So here in chapter 5 and verse 5, if you would, in honor of God's Word, stand to our feet, and we'll read from verse 5 down to verse 11, and we'll finish the message that we began on Wednesday night. It says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject and one to another, and be clothed with all humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We stopped there Wednesday night. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom that resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus tonight. I thank you for the songs and the selection of them. I thank you for our visitors tonight. I thank you for members that are faithful and steadfast. And God, we're praying tonight, God, you'd open our minds and our hearts. God, we come to worship. God, we come to learn. We come to be with God. We come to be in the presence of the Lord. We pray tonight, God, that you see fit, Lord, that you'd meet with us. God, I pray you'll save the lost. I pray, God, you'll cause those that are out, down, dear God, to come back. We pray for those, dear God, who are separated from you, Lord. Those, dear God, who walked out on you, Father, I pray them tonight, you draw them back to you. We pray for the sick and the hurt tonight, the disease, that you touch their bodies. God, I pray that you'd help them tonight. We pray that Christ Jesus will be glorified tonight in all that's said and done. We need your touch and we need your help in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated tonight. We talked about grace being distributed. And, boy, if there's anything we need in our lives is we need grace tonight. We need God's favor. We need God's joy. We need God's sweetness, His charm tonight. We need the lovingness of God. We need the goodwill of God tonight. We need the very favor and the thanks of God, the delight of God. Tonight, if there's anything that all people need tonight is God's grace. By grace through faith are you saved tonight. You'll not get saved unless it's by grace. Tonight in the way of life, you'll need grace. You'll need grace to go through troubles and trials and temptations of life. You'll need grace dying tonight. God will give you dying grace. And we find that grace is all through the life of a Christian tonight. But we also know that this grace that God gives is distributed. We see that right here in verse 5. And it's distributed, well, I'm going quick here, to the humble. To the humble. Those that are humble. We see that in verse 5. It says, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So we see the only people that will ever receive grace is those who are humble. Now we see in that same verse three ways that you can have grace or that you can be humble to receive grace. Number one is to submit yourself to those that are over you. We see that in verse 5. He says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. And we all have elders. We all have those that have authority over us. There's nobody in this room that you are walking around and you are the authority. There's none like that tonight. And so we find ourselves in life being under the authority of someone, somewhere, sometime. And the Bible says that if you humble yourself to that one, well, then God will give you grace. Amen. We find also to be humble is to submit yourselves to those that are equal with you. In verse 5, it says, yea, all of you be subject one to another and clothed with humility. So everybody tonight is equal with one another. There's nobody higher than another. There's no one lower than the other. Tonight we're all equal. And being equal tonight, we're to submit ourselves to each other. Subject ourselves to each other. And friend, when you do that, you'll find you become humble. And being humble, you'll find that God will give you grace. Amen. We also know that to be humble, you have to submit yourself to God. In verse 6, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. We find that that's meaning tonight that all of us are going to have to submit to Him. We're going to have to humble ourselves and come under the hand of God, the hand of God that can control, the hand of God that will lead, and the hand of God that sometimes corrects. Amen? And so in that, we find that to be humble, you're going to have to submit and have a play of a spirit of submission. Amen? Now, if you've got rebellion in your heart, you've got stubbornness in your heart tonight, well, then you'll never get humble. And friend, you'll never find grace. Secondly, I want you to notice, as we talked about Wednesday night, I know I'm recapping, Sister Heather, and I know you're not too excited about that, but to be honored tonight is why God would give grace to the humble, because in verse 6 we find that He may exalt you in due time. You see, God wants to exalt you. God wants to lift you up. God wants to bring you out of where you are. That's why He would give you grace as being humble tonight. So He gives grace. He distributes grace to the humble. And the reason why He does that, so that He would honor you. Amen. God's not going to honor the proud. What does He do with the proud? We see that in that verse 5. He said, God resisteth the proud. But what does He do with the humble? He gives them grace. Why? So in due season, He can lift them up. How encouraging that is tonight. To know that if we would just submit ourselves to one another, we submit ourselves to God, we submit ourselves to the authorities in our lives, that God would bring honor to our lives. He would lift us up in due time. Now, when's due time? Due time is the right time. Due time is the best time. Amen? And so it's His time. That's when He does all the lifting. And then we talked about, secondly, as we move forward, is grace demanding. What does grace demand? Well, when God gives grace to the humble, He says in verse 7, this is what I demand of you, cast all your care upon Me. I'll tell you, that's some kind of grace, isn't it? That God says, listen, My grace demands of you that you cast all your care upon Me. That's the graciousness of God's heart tonight, for He careth for you. Amen? I read some scripture, Psalms 27:10 says, when my father and my mother forsake me, therefore the Lord will take me up. That's God's heart, ain't it? Psalms 40:17 says, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Once again, we find God cares for us. We know that Psalms 115:12 says, the Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. Amen. In John 11:35, the Bible says, Jesus wept. In John 11:36, the Bible says, and the Jews said, behold, how He loved him, how He loved Lazarus. Amen. I tell you tonight, God cares for you. We found in Proverbs 103:14, He says, He knoweth our frame, and He remembers us as dust. Amen. He remembers us. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, that He careth for you. That word careth means He's interested in you. It means that He is concerned about you. It means that you matter to Him tonight. Amen? And so we find that grace is not only distributed, but grace is demanded, and grace will demand that you cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Amen? I know this is a rerun, but still exciting to my heart. God's gracious hope is that you would cast all your care upon Him. Amen. Psalms 55 in verse 22, the Bible says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee, and He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Amen. And so we find that God says to you, I care. Now, you must cast all your care upon Me. That word care upon Me means to throw it upon Me. It means to fling it on Me. He means to hurl it upon Me. And so God's not interested tonight that you sneak up on God and you go casually to God and you say, God, I got a burden in my heart. I got a trouble in my life. I've got something that's really causing me some pain and really hurting me. Lord, can I just gently throw this on You? He'll say, no, I want You to cast it on Me. I want You to throw it down. I want You to hurl it at Me. He said, I want You to fling it at Me. He said, that's something with some force. That's something with tonight that you and I would say, God, I must just throw this on You and just throw it on You. Amen. Like I said the other night, I don't have it no more. I thought I had a pick here. I had a pick and I would throw that pick. Amen. And that's like God wants you to take your burdens tonight. He wants you to take all your cares and He wants you to throw it down upon Him. Amen. And then I want you to know it's God's gracious hand. He said, He'll sustain thee. He said, He'll supply you. He said, He'll maintain you. He said tonight that He'll hold you, that He'll nourish you, that He'll comprehend you, that He'll guide you, that He'll feed you, that He'll bear you, that He'll receive you, He'll provide for you. Amen. But not only will He sustain you, but He will strengthen you. Amen. He'll bring strength. That's according to Isaiah 55:22. The word strengthen means that He will come to the place where you're not shake any longer. You'll not slip tonight. You'll not ever be overthrown. You'll never be wavering. Amen. And so we find in verse 7, He said that the graces demand in your life is because I care for you, that you cast all your care upon Me. And if you do that, I will sustain you and I will strengthen you. Amen. Hallelujah, tonight we've got a God that cares for us. Thanks God for this grace tonight. So not only does the grace distribute and the grace is demanding, but tonight I want to preach, and this is where I want to preach on, is grace defending. See, grace tonight will defend you. We need some defending tonight, because in verse 7 or verse 8, we start listening about an enemy that we have tonight. You do have an adversary. I know that some people around here think that nobody ever in all the world don't like you. I mean, you think everybody likes you. I mean, you think that you have no enemy at all. But tonight, can I tell you, you've got one enemy I know. If you're saved tonight, you've got an adversary. He's the devil tonight. And I want you to notice that grace will defend you. And here's how grace will defend you. I want you to see that in verse 8 now. He says, be sober, be vigilant, be because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I want you to notice, number one, concerning about grace defending you, is the awareness of the battle. The Bible says, be sober. In other words, tonight, you and I got to be knowing and understanding and being aware that we're in a battle. I believe many Christians tonight are walking around, friends, just having their head in the sand. They're walking around as if everything's okay, walking around like everything's all right. Tonight, it ain't okay. And it's not all right. I mean, it was Jesus that looked at Peter and said, Peter, the Satan will have you. He will sift you as wheat, Peter. He said, I'm going to pray for you. I'm just telling you that that same devil is the same devil you and I have before us every day of our lives. He's not our friend. He's our foe. Friend, he ain't trying to help us. He's trying to hurt us. He's not trying to lead us along the way that we'll be successful. He's trying to find us in a way to be failures. Amen. And so we find tonight that you and I are going to have to be aware of the battle. Wake up! The word sober tonight, it means to not be drugged by this world. And many times people get drugged. They get intoxicated with the world in which we live in. They find themselves in some sort of another world, and it's not the real world, amen. And so I'm asking you tonight, and God's asking you, if you're ever going to have grace defend you, you're going to have to come to the place and sober up and pay attention tonight and get to the place where you're not drugged up in this world and you're not intoxicated. And it means not to be distracted by this world. See, those that are not sober tonight, they're distracted easily. You'll find with somebody who is drunk and somebody who is has their vision isn't correct and their hearing isn't right and their actions isn't really who they are. I know some people get drunk, they get mad and usually they're not mad. And some people get sad and usually they're not sad. And some people get happy and they're not usually happy. Amen. And so they're altering of their behavior, of the things they say. Those that are drunk, they're more bold to say something to someone than they would when they wouldn't be drunk. You'll find somebody who gets drunk and they go to sleep. You'll find some other person who gets drunk and they want to fight. I mean, whoever gets drunk. But see, the Bible says for you and I to be sober tonight, not be distracted by the world, not come to a place in our life as a Christian tonight. And we're over here in Iraq, and we're over here, and over here in Israel, and we're over here, down here in Washington, and we're over here, down here at the lake. Fred, you need to pay attention to where you are. Stop worrying about everybody else's home. Worry about your home. Stop worrying about everybody else's heart. Worry about your heart tonight, amen? Get sober tonight. Stop being distracted from everything else. And I tell you, it's just the world in which we live in. And I tell you, the curse of the world is that, and I say it again, I say it always, and I will say it again, and I'll say it again after this, I say it again, is the internet. It is the worst piece of equipment that we have ever experienced in our lives. It has brought more harm and more torture and more suffering than any other thing in all the world. It even has went above TV. You and I got to get stop being so distracted, but be sober. We got to come to a place where we're not drugged. We got to get a place where we're not driven by this world. You see, when you're drunken tonight, you're driven by something. It might be driven by alcohol. It might be driven by drugs. It might be driven by the reason why someone would go and get drunk is because they got a lot of pressures in life. They might go and get drunk because they got a lot of problems at home. They might go and get drunk and get drugged because they're trying to run from something. They're driven tonight. And that's exactly what the sober means tonight, is be sober. Don't let this world drive you crazy. Don't let the world drive you batty tonight. Don't let the world drive you out of church on Sunday night. Don't let the world drive you out of reading your Bible on Sunday morning or on Monday morning. Don't let the world tonight drive you with you losing your joy, your salvation. But be sober because you got an enemy. So we got to be aware tonight. Be aware of the battle. Number two, not only be aware of the battle, but be in the activity of the battle. The word vigilant here. What does it mean? What means to be cautious? It means to be active. It means to give strict attention tonight. Know that there is a spiritual battle. Be active in this battle. Tonight, I'm telling you that if you just go home and sit there and not be active in the things of life and living for Christ and doing as God would ask you to do and obeying His will tonight, you'll find that the battle will overcome you and that adversary will get the best of you. Amen. But when you're active in the battle, when you're vigilant, boy, you're on top. The enemy cannot get a stronghold on you. The enemy can't get above you. The enemy cannot take you where he wants to take you and do with you as he wants to do with you. You know why? Because you know you're in the battle and you understand you're in the battle. This is important tonight, to be vigilant. Pay attention, strict attention tonight. That not only am I in the battle, and boy, I can't get distracted and I can't get drugged and I can't be driven by this world. But I've got to pay strict attention that everywhere I go, the adversary's there. Everything I say, the adversary's there. I mean, every action, every reaction, he's there. I mean, listen, I can build a testimony and I can build a reputation for 15 years of being before somebody and letting them know that I'm a Christian, that I love God, I'm a follower of Christ, and I'm stuck. But it only takes one reaction to destroy my testimony of 15 years. It took me 15 years to build that up. Then all of a sudden, one activity, one word, one deed, and they look at me and say, I thought you was a Christian. What about the last 15 years? Who cares about the 15 years? How about the last 15 seconds? Oh, tonight we've got to be vigilant. Pay strict attention tonight. We are in a battle. Do you know that? Do you understand that tonight? That this battle is a real spiritual battle. Now turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Just want to reaffirm tonight some things with you about this battle. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And look there in verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Oh, get your battles right tonight. Get who you're battling tonight. Get where the war is. Some of us tonight think war is our flesh. Your flesh tonight is an enemy of yours, but it's not like the devil tonight. Oh, we may walk in the flesh, but the Bible says we do not war after the flesh. Paul, look at this in verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare. Now we're talking about warfare tonight. We're talking about battle. We're talking about fight. Are not carnal. They're not fleshly. They're not something that you and I could look to. It's not a knife. It's not a gun. It's not something you and I tonight can pull out or you and I can shoot. He says, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. God said, there our weapons are mighty through God. There's not a gun in the world. There's not a knife in all the world tonight that can control your thoughts and your imaginations. Boy, the devil's working in your mind. The devil wants you to think. The devil wants you to have an imagination freedom that will bring you forth to the very deception of God. They want you to bring it to the place of unrighteousness with God. The thinking you. And boy, the devil gets on your shoulders from time to time. And the devil sits next to you from time to time. He gets to make you thank him that you're not worth anything. Make you thank him that you committed a sin and now you're done and now you're through. And God's not going to ever use you again. And God's mad at you. And God ain't going to ever speak to you again. And you're just out for God. You're on the shelf with God. And God don't want you to ever go to church no more. Ever read his word anymore. Never call him again. He's a liar. Oh, tonight we are in a warfare. We've got to be aware of this, church. Tonight we've got to be active in it. And so we find in this scripture here that we have a warfare, but our weapons are not carnal. We look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. The Bible once again speaks of this battle, this war. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. See, our battles, our wars are not against each other tonight. Nobody in this room is an enemy of ours. Nobody outside of this room is an enemy of ours. If you're flesh and blood tonight, you're not an enemy at all. But the Bible does say, but against principalities and against powers and against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand in the evil day. That's our enemy tonight. Our enemy is not flesh and blood. Our enemy is not Joe and our enemy is not Sue tonight. But the enemy is the adversary. Amen? And we've got to be active in this battle. 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. Turn there. I'm just trying to give you some scripture tonight to just confirm about what 1 Peter's talking about, a warfare. I want you to know that you're in a warfare tonight. You're in the battle of your life. You're in the battle of your children's life. If you want your home to go up in smoke, this is the battle that will bring you to that place. Tonight, if you want to end up with a ruined home and a broken heart, shattered life, this is where you will get it done, at right here, in this battle. He says, verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. A soldier, what does a soldier do? A soldier fights. A soldier is in war. A soldier has warfare. Tonight, this thing about being a Christian is not something we just walk around with a crown on our head and our little wings are flapping. And everybody just gets out of our way and everybody's nice to us. Everybody gives us our way. That's not what Christian life's about. It's about a battle. It's about a warfare. It's about an enemy tonight. And we've got to be active in this battle. We've got to understand you're in a spiritual battle. You've got to know that tonight. But then we'll talk thirdly, not only the activity of it and the very awareness of it, but then the very adversary of it. Who's the adversary of the battle? Well, we see that, of course, in our text here. It's the devil. Very clear, very plain. I mean, we don't have to read much. It's very simple. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil. So he names it very clear tonight, very easy to understand who the enemy is, who the adversary is. He is the devil, Satan himself. Amen? Now, who's Satan tonight? Who's the devil? We'll turn to your Bibles quickly. I want to give you 3 points here. Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel 28 gives us a description of this devil. Ezekiel 28 and verse 11. I want you to notice, first of all, that the devil is a created being. The devil tonight is someone that God has created. And when I say someone, he is in the male gender. He is whom. So we're talking about someone that God has created. He's a created being. And in Ezekiel chapter 28 and about verse 11, let's read this here. The Bible says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up the lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, thou sealest the sum of full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." Talking about Satan here. "Thou hast been in Eden of garden, in Eden the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, sardis, topaz, and diamond, and pearl, and onyx, and jasper, and sapphire, and emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes are prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art anointed cherub of that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou hast upon the holy mountain of God, thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire." There in verse 15, "By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as a profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherubim, from the midst of the stones of fire." He is a created being tonight. He's not greater than God. He doesn't know more than God. He has no more power than God. He is created by God. Let's make this sure tonight, you and I that are the children of God, He is made and created by that same God. So He doesn't have free reign in our lives, but He is an adversary to us. But remember, God created Him. God has control over His creation. Not only is He created, but He's a corrupted being. In verse 15, we see that. It says, "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou hast was created until iniquity was found in thee." See, he was a created being, but now he's a corrupted being. Sin will always corrupt you. We find there in verse 17, "Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou was corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground, and I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee." So we find that he's a corrupted being. He's a created being. And thirdly, tonight he is a condemned being. Verses 18 says, "Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more." Well, God lays down the line on this Satan devil, our adversary. The enemy tonight, he says, you know, you're going to be destroyed and you're condemned. Turn to Isaiah chapter 14. Just trying to encourage you tonight, where there's grace tonight, there's defense. In God's grace, you find a defense. Isaiah 14. Once again, it speaks of him, the enemy. Look there in verse 12. It says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of thy congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of the prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one of his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as a raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword that go down to the stones of the pit as a carcass trodden underfoot." I mean, I tell you right now, the Lord is laying down the destruction of the devil. He says, thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people, and the seed of thy evildoers shall never be renowned. Prepare slaughter for his children, for the iniquity of their fathers, for they do not rise, nor possess the land, nor fill the face of the world with cities. For I will rise up against them, saith the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and remnant and the son and nephew, saith the Lord. I will also make thee a possession for the bittern and the pools of water, and I will sweep it with the bosom of destruction, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 24. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely I have thought, so it shall come to pass. As I have purposed, so shall it stand. God just said, listen, Satan, listen, Lucifer, you're going to be destroyed. I said it, and I'll do it. Can I tell you tonight, your adversary is the devil. It is a created being. It's a corrupted being. It's a condemned being. But can I say it's a crafty being? We see that back into our text. We see that it says that he is as a roaring lion. That's pretty crafty tonight. Back in Genesis chapter, don't turn there, chapter 3, he came as a serpent. Subtle as a serpent. Oh, we found that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. He was like an angel of light. Pretty crafty. Tonight he comes as a roaring lion. What does a roaring lion do? Well, a roaring lion has never killed anybody. A roaring lion has never hurt anybody. A roaring lion has never come to the place where he has done something that will hurt or harm or cause any kind of problems. But I tell you what a roaring lion does, he intimidates you. A roaring lion all through, you'll find that all the animals and all the people that hear the roaring lion will know that that roaring lion is there. Oh, and it brings fear to your heart. Oh, because as a roaring lion, he's looking for something as prey. You hope you're not in the way of that. But can I say to you tonight that the roaring lion is the one that will intimidate? In verse 8, I want you to know he's a connected being, because the Bible says he's walking about. In other words, this Satan tonight, this enemy, this devil we're talking about, is not something tonight that you and I don't have to worry about. We do got to be concerned about, because he's a walking about. See, tonight we think that the devil is something with has a pitchfork, and he's got a long tail, and every once in a while he'll throw some flames out with his mouth, and he's got this red look about him, and he's got all these horns that are sticking up, and we find him at Halloween, but basically in Halloween, and every once in a while we see him on TV, or we see him kind of in a newspaper, or we see him on a TV show or something like that, playing the devil. But friend, listen, tonight he is connected. He's connected to your address. He knows your telephone number. He knows where you work at. He knows where you go to church. He knows where you shop. He knows where your entertainment is. He knows what you do. He's connected with you. He's walking about. Now, he can't be everywhere at all times. He doesn't have all knowledge of all things. But he's pretty sharp. Friend, he's walking about. I just want you to be knowledgeable of that. That this enemy I'm talking about is not somewhere down there out in Florida somewhere, or down there in Greece somewhere, or up there in Iraq somewhere. But no, he is walking about. Now, do we know where he's at? No. Do we want to know where he's at? No. Are we looking for him? No. Do we care where he's at? No. But just know he's walking about. Know he's connected tonight. Know that he's crafty tonight. Know that he's condemned tonight. Know tonight that he's created. Know that he's corrupted. He's about us. He's around us. He's among us. He's an enemy of us. I'll tell you something else. Fourthly or fifthly, he's a craving being. The Bible says, seeking. He's craving. He's craving for the blood of a Christian. Yeah. He's craving because that word seeking means to drink down. You study that word, what it talks about when it talks about seeking whom he may devour. It's talking about drinking down. It's talking about gulping. You ever been to that? I can't remember that place that fast food has a gulp. 7-Eleven. They have a gulp. And it's big, right? I mean, it's not something small. It's big. And man, when you gulp it down, it's like you're taking all of it at one time. And it's huge. And that's the idea here tonight, that the devil is a craving being and he's looking to gulp entire. He's looking to destroy completely. He's looking to drink down you. He just don't want to come and play around with you. He just don't want to come and kind of just make you mad. He don't want to come and just kind of mess up your day. He wants to take your life. He's not interested in making you have a bad day. I mean, when people say, the devil made me do it, man, the devil shouts at that. Yeah, way too much credit. But man, I tell you, he's looking to engulf you. He's looking to drink you down. He's looking to entirely to divulge you. I'm saying tonight, are you aware of this enemy? Are you active in this battle? Are you kind of just in la-la land? I mean, I live in Ropper Room. I mean, where I go, the walls are padded. I mean, tonight, are you really listening? And are you really for real? I mean, your marriages are on the rocks. Your children are being grown up by themselves. I mean, you're living a life of misery. You're living a life of heartache. And the devil's got you right where he wants you to do, trying to seek you. Are you at all aware of these things? Oh, what is the answer for the battle? We heard about the adversary of the battle. How about the answer? Well, God gives the answer in verse 9. He says, whom? That's not a thing. That's a person. Whom? So you and I are going to have to resist a person. Whom is referring to Satan, to the devil. Tonight, if you ever are going to get Satan, the devil, off of your trail, you're going to have to resist him. Then you're going to have to get your hind legs bowed up, put your big boy pants on, amen, pull your bootstraps up, get your hair in a ponytail if you need to do that, girls, and you need to get ready to fight this battle, but to fight it with all that you got within you and resist the devil tonight. Resist him tonight in the faith. That's what the Bible teaches. And friend, this is the only way tonight that you and I are going to find grace in this defense. That tonight you can say, oh God, please keep the devil away from me. That ain't going to work. Oh, I pray, would you pray that God would put an umbrella around me, that God would put something around me that I would no longer have any contact or any kind of interference with the devil, that the devil would not bother me, he'd leave me alone, he'll pass up my address and go to somebody else's address. Oh, pray that the devil just leave me alone. Friend, you are the candidate of devouring. You're the freshest meat. Amen, you're the bloodiest one. He's the one that he's going to, whoo, look at that one. They're already scared. Whoa, the roars done got them all bent out of shape. Oh, but it's those tonight who have the answer for the battle. That is to resist. 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 The Bible says if you resist him, he will flee from you. Oh, the Bible teaches here in verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Oh, tonight, look there. I want you to kind of have another confirmation concerning this stand that you must take. And look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 tonight. I'll read it to you. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee. Listen to this now, verse 18. That thou by them mightest war a good warfare. How, Timothy? How, Paul? Paul, you're telling Timothy to war a good warfare. What are you going to do? Holding faith? Holding faith? Oh, that all that you've learned and all that you've been taught and all that God has given to you through all the years of your salvation, hold it on! That's how you resist the devil. Hold! Don't back up. Don't doubt it. Don't refuse it. Don't reject it. All that God's ever taught you and all that God's ever ingrained in you and God has ever put inside of you, then you find yourself, I hold on to it until the end. That's a resisting the devil tonight. I've seen many people. Do you know the cults tonight have many, many members in the cult who were used to be a Baptist? Did you know that? Why is that so? How in the world can that be? The majority of Jehovah's Witnesses, the majority of the Mormons, the majority of the Seventh-day Adventists, the majority of Satanism, the majority of this, the majority of that. The people that are people not even a cult, but maybe of a God of prophecy or the Church of God or some of the, maybe they find that they got the backgrounds of a Baptist. I see it all the time. What's wrong with the Baptists? What's the matter? What's the problem? Is it because we're Baptist by tradition? We're Baptist by pedigree? Great-granny, she was a Baptist. Oh, and Grandpa, Papa, he was deacon. I got to be one of them. Papa's deacon. I mean, his name is on the back of that board, right? He's got his picture up there. I mean, great-granddaddy's buried in the back behind the Baptist church. I'm going to have to go there for sure. I'm just telling you tonight. Faith. All that you've been taught. All that God has put in you. All that God has placed in you. Hold. Hold. All that you ever learned from here. Everybody's ever been saved here. All that God's placed in your heart through the way of the preaching and the teaching of God's Word tonight. Hold! That's how, tonight, that you resist the devil. In the faith tonight. Oh, can I show you another scripture that I want you to see tonight? And I've got, man, I'm really doing really good here with this time. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. It's just a few more chapters over in the same book. The Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. You say, Brother Larry, I thought we were supposed to be mental. We're supposed to be meek and mental and gentle. We are. Oh, but that don't mean we can't fight. Not in the faith. Amen. We're gentle and we're meek because that's what Christ has done in our lives. I don't know anybody in this room was meek and gentle at first. I knew everybody's kind of rough and tough. Oh, but when the Holy Ghost of God gets a hold of your heart, you get meek and gentle. Don't tell you something else what the Holy Ghost will do for you, though. He'll make you a fighter. Not a brawler, but a fighter. You'll fight that fight of faith. For 26 years, I've been fighting this fight of faith. Amen? I came to this church 18 years ago, fighting the fight of faith. Many have left us. Many have looked at us and many have said that this church won't last. They said this church will be out, this church will shut its doors, this church will never make it. Now, are you willing to fight the fight? Are you willing to go all the way? Are you willing to finish the race? Are you willing to finish the course that God set forth for you to do? I'm ready. I'm willing. Fight the, you know how I'm going to resist the devil? Not coming to him with all that I've got, my water gun and all that kind of stuff. But I'm going to come to him with my faith. And I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight the faith. I'm going to hold on to what God's given to me. Back in, now I don't know if you know this or not, but in 1988, October 30th, I got saved. And that day I got saved is the day that God put faith in my heart and grace came upon me, and ever since then, as long as I resist the devil, as long as I will hold out on the devil, as long as I will fight the good fight, grace will be bestowed on me, and it will defend me all the way to heaven. Amen? The reason I've seen people get out, the reason I've seen people go AWOL, the reason I've seen people tonight, you can't find them with the FBI anymore, because they're faith! They're not holding. They're not fighting. Oh, we find, look in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Look there in the last portion of verse 13. It says, that you may able to withstand. I like that word. Withstand. In the evil day, that day in that battle, that day in that war, when it gets the worst, and things are happening, and things are going on, and you don't know if you can make it any longer. Boy, the Bible says, withstand, and having done all. Having done all. That means in your Christian life, you've done all. He says, to stand. But look at that next verse. Stand, therefore. When you've done all you can do to stand, when the devil is battering you, when the devil's beating you up, when the devil's taking your children, when the devil's taking your family, when the devil's taking your job, when the devil's taking your integrity, when the devil's taking your reputation, when the devil's just left you out there on the road, when the devil's stepping on your face and on your head, he said, to do all that you can do to stand. I say, stand! Resist the devil. Yeah. Just stand. Oh, there used to be a day when Christians knew how to stand. There used to be a day when Christians stood. Oh, we get so mealy-mouthed and we get so worried about the political correctness and we get so worried about of hurting somebody's feelings and of worrying about what a Muslim might think when we say to them that, listen, there's only one God. His name is Jesus. You can't say that. They get upset tonight when we tell them there's only the blood of Jesus Christ is the only a substance, the only power that can wash away the sins of man. Oh, they get mad at you. You look them in the eyes and tell them that homosexuality is a sin and an abomination unto God and there'll be no homosexuals in heaven. Oh. You look them in the face and say abortion is sin and it's wrong and it's murder. There'll be no drunkard in heaven. There'll be no drunken in heaven. There'll be no fornicator in heaven. There'll be no adulterers in heaven. Listen, you say, oh, Brother Larry, look, you're cutting out a whole bunch of people. I ain't cutting out anybody. I'm just telling what the Word of God says, and I'm going to stand on it. You're going to find battles in your life. You'll find, well, you know, the place of a woman is to be submission to her husband. Because the Bible says that Jesus is the head of man and man's the head of a woman. Listen, friend, you'll get your face slapped for saying that. We had the Southern Baptist Convention at one time thinking about penknifing that out of the Bible. About women being submission to their husbands because they feel like that is a racist or that is a male chauvinist pig point of view. But it's the Bible. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. He said, man, that's just too hard, so we're going to cut that out too. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. I'm just saying tonight, we go all day long on this, but there's coming a time when you and I in this battle are going to have to stand. Stand. Do all that you do, stand. This is how you resist, according to the Scripture. The Word, back into our text here, we find that that word resist tonight, it actually means to stand strong in the faith. It means to stand sure in the faith. It means to stand solid in the faith. It means don't yield. Don't move. Don't change. Matter of fact, tonight, that word, whom resist, it is an offensive word. It means tonight to set against Him. Now, I'm going to close with that thought. I'm not done, but I'll close. Here's the thought tonight as we close. To resist steadfast in the faith means that in your mind and in your heart that you know who the devil is tonight. He's your enemy. And I am going to set an opposition against him, an opposement against him. I'm not going to let him come to me. I'm going to come to him and say, I oppose you. There's no greater defense than a good offense. When you're in a battle, you're fighting somebody, and I'm not a real brawler like this kind of stuff, but I know this, as I see people fight, when I see somebody fight, and they're hitting this other guy, and he's backing up, I've never seen anybody win like that. Have y'all? I've never seen anybody on the football field when the team that's on the offense and we're on the defense and you're going back. It happened today with the Texans. I've never seen at all anybody at all who's backing up who's ever winning anything. So you know what we got to do? We got to go on the offense. And that is right now in our hearts and in our minds. And say to the devil, devil, I've set against you. And I'm against you. And you're my enemy, and I know it. And by the grace of God, I will finish my race. I will fulfill my course. And I will die fighting the good fight of faith. I will live as if one day God will look me in the eyes and say, thou good and faithful steward. Well done. I want to encourage you tonight. You know, I know He's subtle like a serpent. And I know tonight He's like an angel of light coming as a false teacher, false preacher. I know He's like a roaring lion. Oh, but just remember tonight, we've got an answer called the grace of God. The only grace will be applied when we resist, and that is to stand. To set your eyes toward Him and say, listen, I'm against you before you're against me. And I will not ever stop. I won't ever quit. You can do whatever you want to do. See, there's times in my Christian life that I've had to face these decisions. I had to face them in my marriage. I had to face them in my ministry. Whew. Difficult. The battle got heavy. The battle got hot. I've almost just, on some occasions, just gave up. I did. Not quite, though. Almost. Almost gave up on my marriage. Almost gave up on ministry. Never to pastor again. Never preach a message. Never be married to a woman I married for 31 years. Just to walk away. Just to quit. Battle's real. I had to come in my heart, my mind, say, devil. No. No. I will stand. And about that time, God gave grace. Oh. I just filled my heart. It gave me grace, my wife. And grace in the ministry. It changed my preaching. It changed my mind. It changed all about me. And y'all used to know me. Some of y'all knew me before. God changed me. Why is that? Oh, because I ain't got to the next point. The next point, if you read that, there in the next scripture, it said, let's read it, then I'll close. He says in verse 10, or verse 9, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Then verse 10 says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory, by Christ Jesus. Now, what is eternal glory? Eternal glory is heaven. How has He called us to heaven? Through Christ Jesus. All right? So when you receive Christ, you have eternal glory. Then He says this, after that you have suffered a while, after that you have suffered a while, God will call you on home. That's what He's saying. Why are you going to suffer a little while? Oh, because He's going to make you perfect. Everybody in this room, God's trying to make you perfect. How's He going to do that? We're going to do it three ways. He's going to establish you. He's going to come to the place where He's going to bring you to a place of strength. He's going to come to a place of settlement. Why is He going to do that? Well, because He's going to let you go out there for just a little while. And it looks like God has allowed us to continue to suffer, folks. Continue to go through the battles. Continue to fight this warfare. But one day, He's going to call us home. And why He calls us home is because in the midst of all these battles that we're battling, He's done three things to make us perfect. He's established us. He's come to the place where He has strengthened us. come to the place where He has settled us. What does all that mean? Well, that means this today. It means that God has caused us to be firm. You see, when we first got saved, we weren't firm. We was a little flimsy. Some of y'all still flimsy. But God's trying to get you firm. That's what that word established means. The second word there talking about strength means that you be erect. It means that you be to the place where you have a foundation underneath you and you've got a building in your life. That last word, settled, it means that to the place where you are just fixed. And God wants you like that. He wants you to be the foundation so people can build upon. He wants you to be erected tonight. He wants you to be to the place where you're just fixed. And then we go home. Amen? That's why the devil's like a roaring lion. But it's grace that defends us the whole time. See that verse there? But the God of all grace, He's in charge. Thank the Lord for grace. I've experienced it many times. I was talking to my dad before he died. I said, Dad, I'm going to miss you. I wish it didn't have to be so. He said, I'm going to miss you too. I said, but Dad, you showed me how to live. Man, you showed me how to die. Daddy died with grace. He didn't complain one time. He didn't moan with God. He didn't gripe. He didn't say why. He wasn't questioning the Lord. He said a few things. He said, I'm going to miss my family. I want to be with my family. He said, I want to see you. I want to take care of your mom. He said, but man, if God chose me to die, I'm going to die. And yet grace just came with on Daddy. He fought the battle. He died in grace. There's one way I want to die. Die fighting. In grace. If I quit today, I'll never be there. If you quit, you'll never be there. Don't quit. Amen. Stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, and our eyes are closed. You might want to just snuggle up with God tonight. You might just want to run down to this altar, maybe just fall prostrate toward Him. Just cry out to your Father tonight with a heart that you just want to get near to.